Good afternoon. Good morning. Today we enter into the first Sunday of Lent. We kind of press into this Lenten season. The church is on a three-year cycle when it comes to its readings, A, B, and C. And so each year we actually normally have different readings on a given Sunday so that more of the entire Bible can be listened to in a three-year period. However, every first Sunday of Lent, the church always reads this particular reading about Jesus' temptation in the desert. She does use different gospel readings, but it's always this experience of Christ's temptation in the desert. I think she does so to remind us of a very crucial reality, that you and I are in a spiritual battle. You and I are in a spiritual battle. Every Sunday when we recite the creed, we say, I believe in things seen and unseen. That we confess, that we believe there is a spiritual reality just as real, just as true, just as concrete as the physical reality that I can see with my eyes. That just as real as I am and my dog Lola and the trees that are out there, there's just as real this creature reality that's invisible, which the church has given the name angels. And in this whole sphere of angels, we know that there are the good angels and a third of them fallen, which we call the demons. Which is actually great news, because for every fallen angel, there's two good angels. But what I wish to kind of break open today, and many of you heard my story of a couple years ago of my experience with a woman who was possessed. But if you want to listen to that story, you can find the recording somewhere. Anyways, what I wish to kind of break open for you today is, how does these angelic beings, these fallen angelic beings, kind of mess with us? Because here's the fact of the matter. You and I are in a battle, period. We can recognize it for what it is, or you and I can kind of drift along and pretend that it's not there. If we choose to kind of close our eyes to this reality and not become aware of it, I promise you, you will become a pawn in Satan's hand. So how do these demonic forces mess with us? You have seen the movies. You've seen that they can do it in a very dramatic way. In Possession, there's obsession, there's fixation. But the way that they tend to mess with you and I on a daily is through temptation. The way that Jesus Christ in the desert experienced this demonic force. So how do they tempt us? It's important to know the tactic of the enemy if we want to then overcome them, right? In every battle, you want to know, what is your opponent going to do? And once you realize what he's going to do, you know how to overcome them. So what I wish to do is to kind of break open the tactics of the enemy. And this isn't my own musing. If it were, you could tune me out. This is a long-standing tradition of the church, and I am relying primarily on St. Ignatius of Loyola. He wrote a great wealth called The Discernment of Spirits, and it's about becoming aware and then discerning these spiritual influences. Okay. The enemy tempts us depending upon the state of the soul. Where do you find yourself? If you are an individual intent on God's will, progressing step by step in virtue, coming to Mass daily, having a living relationship with Christ, kind of truly longing and working to live out your discipleship, the one thing the enemy wishes to do is unsettle the soul. Demons are great psychologists. They know you through and through. They know how to read body language. They know your history. They know all the wounds of your past. And so they know in a very concrete way how to push your buttons, how to kind of mess with that peace of heart. Relationships, maybe you're someone that is constantly struggling with loneliness. Maybe someone in your family, a particular person, your parents or an individual is a constant, just difficult relationship for you. Maybe you're someone that's constantly afraid of finances. Maybe you're someone who constantly is in need of control. Whatever it is, you kind of know yourself. The enemy knows it better. And he knows how to find the weak spot in order to bring to our imagination or thoughts in our minds kind of different phantasms for the ultimate purpose to disturb the soul, to steal that peace, to make me experience feelings of loneliness, emptiness, anxiety, maybe boredom, frustration, doubt, agitation, lack of hope. Even right now as I'm speaking, maybe some of you are out there thinking like, this is a waste of time. Demons aren't real. Be attuned to how he knows you and the things that he will play before your mind. Conversely, for every one demon, there's two good angels. The good angels are ardently fighting for us. And what they wish to do is help the soul on their journey to heaven. And so for an individual who's progressing in virtue, step by step, trying ardently to live out their discipleship, the good spirits will constantly try to steady and bring peace to the heart, to give you thoughts of encouragement, hope, to edify your mind, to expand the horizons of your thoughts, to lift you in truth, a growth in faith, a growth in charity towards others, a growth in selflessness. They're constantly there to encourage you in your authentic identity. Okay, let's move to the other type or disposition of soul. Someone who, I would say, is adrift. A soul that kind of has slowly drawn away from the Lord, is preoccupied by worldly delights and worldly cares, fixated on the material present reality before them. Mind you, here's a little aside. The same person can experience both of these dispositions in one day. Just to let you know that. But this type of soul could be someone who's not practicing the faith, isn't going to Mass regularly, maybe a soul that has fallen into mortal sin. How does the enemy tempt them? It's not to create anxiety or disrupt the soul, but rather to pacify the soul, to make the soul numb. Think of a pacifier. What is it meant to do? To just kind of quiet the cry of that little baby. But does it actually feed the baby? Nope. Does it actually satiate the long desires of their heart? Nope. All it does is quiet it, to almost numb the great longing of the heart. The whole purpose the enemy for a soul in this disposition wishes to do is to keep it distracted. This is during the day. Maybe you woke up in intent of doing God's will, and then you got tired and you're kind of drifting along. And now how's the enemy going to tempt you? Oh, just pull out your phone. Just start looking at that. Thumb through that. Get fixated on the news. Get fixated on these worldly things to distract the deeper elements of the heart. How does the good spirit, the good angels, God himself, the saints, how do those try to affect a soul in this disposition? Again, this is a soul adrift. What the experience for them is a prick and prodding of the good angel. It's our conscience kind of pricking us to awaken us to the fact that we have fallen asleep. It's a good friend that calls you out when you have been on the computer for way too long. It's a family member that says, what have you become? You seem like you're drifting away. You're not yourself anymore. It's that little thought in the mind that says, maybe I should go to Mass. And what does the enemy say? Oh, no, you don't need to. Just go on the computer a little longer. You see, this is real. This is concrete. Oftentimes we drift along in our lives and we think all of our thoughts, all of our emotion, all of the imaginings of our mind are simply ours. No, they're not. No, they're not. Demons are very real. Very real. And so are the good angels. They're very real. And what I wish to press upon you today is the need for you and I to become aware of them. Otherwise, I promise you, we will simply be a pawn in Satan's hands. As you come before the Blessed Sacrament to receive the Holy Eucharist, I invite you to ask Jesus to increase within you a disposition of sensitivity to the angelic realm. In other words, to recognize more sensitively how your own heart is moved throughout a given day. You wake up, your heart full of gratitude, you're moving throughout that day, charity is full in you, but then something hits you. You start thinking about an individual that you hadn't thought about in a long time from your past, and it kind of disrupts your heart, disrupts your soul, and you get in a funk. Okay, that's not happen chance. That's the working of the enemy to disrupt the heart. As you come before the Blessed Sacrament to receive our Lord, ask for a deeper sensitivity to understand the workings of the enemy. I know I preached for a while, and the enemy already is tempting you to get bored, but let me conclude with this final thing. Ash Wednesday, the opening prayer, the collect prayer of the Mass, reads this. Grant, O Lord, that we may begin with holy fasting this campaign of Christian service, so that as we take up battle against spiritual evils, we may be armed with weapons of self-restraint. Listen to that military language, this campaign, this battle, we take up arms and weapons. The reason why the church starts with that prayer is to set a tone for these next 40 days. Lent is not simply the time that we wear purple and dead branches are brought into the church and I give up sweets. If that is your Lent for you, you're missing the point. Lent is truly to engage in a spiritual battle. A battle that always is around us. I think it's providentially timely that all of us are kind of fixated on what's the war in Ukraine. Devastating. It's awful. The lives that are being lost should rip our hearts apart. War should always lift us to this place of response and action, to make us feel like our insides are burning, to react to the injustice being done. And I know many of you feel that. Now, every day of your life, you are in a spiritual battle. And I promise you, the enemy is taking countless lives. Maybe not physically, but spiritually. If we are not just as awake, just as moved to stand up against that battle, why are we Christians? What are we doing? We've lost our identity. I call myself out just as much as I raise my voice. I'm not raising it at you. I call myself out. last thing. What did Satan say to Jesus every time before he tempted him? If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, what does the enemy finally wish to do? To undermine your identity, to rip you away from your authentic self. Because the one thing that all the fallen angels hate is the incarnation. The fact that God himself united himself with humanity. They hate it. That is why possession is a mockery of it. God united himself with a human being, and what does a fallen angel want to do? Mock it. That's what a possession does. It mocks it. He hates it. And why does he hate it? Because he sees in the human person an image of God. That's what it comes down to. You are an image of God. Your identity is so, so precious. And the one thing the enemy wishes to do is for you to forget it and ultimately to lose it. That's what he wants. I want you to forget who you are and lose that sacred identity. Okay, as you come before the Blessed Sacrament, pray to the Lord. Lord, give me a spirit of recognition to the spiritual realities around me.